All right, this is the second week of a sermon series on Jonah. And I know that some people think that Jonah is just a kid's story, but the truth is there are principles in the book of Jonah for all of us. Tell somebody, Jonah's for you. Okay? Last week, we learned some important truths from Jonah chapter 1. If you were here, well, y'all remember what we learned. Number one, God will often ask you to do things that you don't want to do. How many of you know that from personal experience? Sometimes when the word of the Lord comes to you, it is not necessarily what you wanted to hear. God will often ask you to do things you don't want to do. And God asked Jonah to go preach to Nineveh. Now, the Ninevites were not good people. They were not friendly people. They were actually the enemy of Israel. And God was asking Jonah to go minister to their enemy. Imagine that. When the word of the Lord comes and says, go forgive that person. Go bless that person. Go minister to that person. Lord, surely not that person. Don't you know them? Don't you know what they did? Don't you know how they treated me, God? Don't you know who they are? Yes, I know. That's why I'm telling you to go minister to them and bless them. God asked Jonah to do something he didn't want to do. Number two, when God tells you to do something, there will always be a boat heading in the other direction. Whenever the word of the Lord comes to tell you to go this way, there's always a boat going that way. Whenever God gives you a word, the enemy's always going to give you option B, where God says go here and the devil's going to make it easy for you to run the other way. That leads us to point number three. When you're on the run, God will send a wake-up call. Jonah was running from God, and all of a sudden, God sent a storm to wake him up. Number four, when you're running from God, God will always provide a way back. Hallelujah. And that leads us to where we are this morning in Jonah chapter 2. In Jonah 2, we find the prayer of Jonah. And if you remember what we learned last week, when Jonah was in the storm, the captain came and woke him up. Tell your neighbor, wake up. Thank you. Y'all helping me out this morning. You're already falling asleep on me today. The captain came in and shook Jonah and said, Jonah, wake up. And the captain told Jonah, hey, you need to pray. Tell somebody you need to pray. That's what the boat captain told Jonah. So what we had here was a believer who had not been praying, and we had an unbeliever who wanted him to pray. I'm reminded of the story of a church in a small town, and there was a bar that opened up right down the street from the church. And the church people were upset about a bar opening up in their neighborhood, so the pastor called a prayer meeting. He said, we're going to come together and pray that that bar is going to go out of business. So they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and not many days thereafter, lightning struck the bar and the bar went out of business. Well, the bar owner decided that he was going to sue the church because he was going to hold them responsible for his building getting hit by lightning. So he actually took the church to court. And the bar owner testified and said they prayed that God would shut us down and our building was struck by lightning. So it's their fault that we went out of business. So I'm suing them for the loss. Then the pastor stood up and said, Your Honor, we had nothing to do with that. We were just holding a little prayer meeting. That is not our fault. The presiding judge looked back at both of them and said, let me get this straight. What we have here is a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and a pastor who does not. And that's what's going on here in the story of Jonah. Jonah, the prophet of God, had not been praying, and yet the unbelieving captain is sitting here begging him to pray. And in the Bible, there's no record of Jonah ever praying while he's on board the ship. What we do know is that Jonah admitted that he was the reason for the storm, and he tells them, hey, throw me overboard. And they didn't want to do it, so they tried everything else they could try. They tried rowing, they tried throwing all the cargo into the sea. No matter what they did, nothing worked. And when they had nothing left, they ran out of options. They said, Jonah, I'm sorry, and then they threw him into the sea. Let's look at the last verse of Jonah chapter 1. It says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And that's where we pick up the story today. Jonah is in the belly of the whale. And for many years, there's been a debate over the creature that swallowed Jonah. Was it a whale or was it a fish? Was it a whale or was it a fish? Was it specifically a whale or was it just a great fish? And oftentimes people refer to Jonah where it says that God prepared a great fish. So they argue that it wasn't specifically a whale, it was just a giant fish. But in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus messes everybody up because Jesus said it was a whale. How many know Jesus will mess you up? He will mess up your preconceived notions. He will mess up your plans. Jesus has a way. I don't know about you. I needed to be messed up. Amen. But look at what Jesus said about Jonah. Matthew 12, 40. He says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." Now let me take a time out for just a minute to explain something here. I'm going to give you a little bit of theology today, okay? Because there's something significant going on here in the book of Jonah. Then we'll get back to his prayer in just a minute. But according to the Bible, Jonah is a prophet, right? Right? We learned that last week. Jonah is a prophet of God. But the Bible also tells us in the book of Acts that all of the prophets testify of Jesus. Acts 10:43, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That means that every prophet in the Bible, all of them, tell us something about Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, every prophet of God prophesied about Jesus. In fact, the very first prophecy in the Bible is about Jesus. And the last prophecy in the Bible is about Jesus. First prophecy recorded in Scripture is in Genesis 3:15. God himself prophesies, and this is what he says. He says to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between her seed and your seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." This is an important prophecy about Satan trying to destroy Jesus. And we know that this scripture was fulfilled because Jesus' heels were literally bruised when he was nailed to the cross. But we also know that through the cross, Jesus crushed the head of Satan, destroying his power over us. Amen? Amen? The enemy tried to take him out, but Jesus used that very instrument to defeat him. The very first prophecy in the Bible tells us about Jesus, and every prophet tells us something about him. I don't have time to go through all, but I want to go through a few this morning just so you know. In Genesis chapter 15, Melchizedek prophesies of Jesus. He prophesies of the communion of Christ and the covenant of communion when he met Abraham with the bread and the wine. Genesis 22, Abraham prophesied when Abraham tells Isaac that God himself will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. In Genesis 49, Jacob prophesied that the Savior would come from the tribe of Judah. In Exodus chapter 12, Moses prophesied that the blood of the Lamb would save us from destruction. Every prophet in the Bible, from beginning to end, there is not a single prophet in the Word of God that did not prophesy about Jesus in some way. Even old Balaam prophesied about Jesus. Balaam prophesied that a star would be given as the sign of his birth. Micah prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah prophesied that he would be born to a virgin. David prophesied that he would be worshipped by kings. Solomon prophesied that he would descend from heaven and be called the Son of God. Hosea prophesied that he would spend his childhood in Egypt, but that God would call his son out of Egypt. Malachi prophesied that God would raise up a prophet before him to prepare the way. Zechariah prophesied that he would be betrayed by a friend. Amos prophesied that at the resurrection, at the crucifixion, the sky would turn to darkness at noonday. David prophesied that the Messiah would be raised from the dead. And Joel prophesied that he would pour out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Every prophet in the Bible testifies of Jesus. Tell somebody they're talking about Jesus. And Jonah is no exception. Here in the book of Jonah, we find some important prophecies about Jesus Christ. The fact that Jonah was in the whale 3 days and three nights is a very significant thing. God did that for a reason. You see, God could have instantly delivered Jonah. When they threw Jonah into the sea, God could have sent a sea turtle and said, hop on board, and that sea turtle could have took him right to land. God could have sent a mermaid and said, Jonah, how you doing? Let me take you to the shore. God could have done whatever he wanted to do. Why? Because he's God. Don't put God in a box. God can do what he wants to do, and he will do it because he's able. God could have instantly translated Jonah from the ocean to Nineveh, but God didn't do that. God sent a whale to swallow Jonah, and he allowed Jonah to remain there for 3 days and 3 nights. Why did God allow that? Because he was prophesying about Jesus Christ. It's what the Bible calls the sign of Jonah. In Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees came up to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, if you are the Savior, will you give us a sign? Jesus said, I'm not going to give you a sign. The only sign that you're going to have is the sign of Jonah, because I will be in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. God allowed Jonah to stay in the well because that is the sign of Jonah. That is the sign of the Messiah. Every prophet testifies of Jesus. Come on, say that. Every prophet talks about Jesus. Even to this day, anybody who claims to be a prophet or have the gift of prophecy, if they don't first and foremost lift up the name of Jesus and above all else lead people to Jesus Christ, guess what? They're not a prophet of God. Hello. Because the Bible says that all the prophets testify of him. Now let's look back at the story of Jonah this morning. So on the issue of whether it was a whale or a fish, Jesus tells us that it's a whale. And some people that I know personally have a hard time with that. They struggle with that. They say, listen, people, they argue that whales can't swallow people. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the one to volunteer to test that hypothesis. But it's okay. Somebody else already did. The Smithsonian Institute actually wrote an article on the subject, and this is what they found. According to the Smithsonian, it is completely possible for a whale to swallow a person. In fact, a sperm whale, the largest mammal on Earth, has a mouth that's 20 feet long, 15 feet high, and 9 feet tall. And you thought you had a big mouth. 20 feet long, 15 feet high, and 9 feet tall. That's almost big enough to swallow my behind. All right. So a whale can swallow a person. It is a proven scientific fact. That's the possible part, but here's the impossible part. It is impossible to survive being swallowed by a whale. And that's where God comes in. For what is impossible with man is possible with God. When somebody tells you that the miracle you're believing God for is impossible, you just remember Jonah, because Jonah was in a place that people said he couldn't possibly survive this. According to the experts, he should have been dead within an hour, yet somehow God sustained him for 3 days and 3 nights. Tell somebody, God is able. Come on, tell somebody else, God is able. I love what R.W. Shambach said in the generation before us. He used to say, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. What Jonah saw as his greatest problem, God actually sent for his protection. Not only does God call us to do things we don't want to do, sometimes God will provide for us in ways that we don't want him to. No human being in their right mind would want to be swallowed by a whale. Nobody would want to be fish food for 3 days and 3 nights. And I'm sure that when Jonah was thinking about God's deliverance, he was expecting something nice and cute and pleasant. Maybe a piece of driftwood or that sea turtle or that mermaid that we were talking about. But instead, God sent a fish to swallow him up. Jonah thought the whale was going to kill him, but God actually sent the whale to save him. You see, not every opportunity is of God and not every problem is of the devil. Sometimes God will send some resistance and some discomfort into your life to protect you and to preserve you and to save you from destruction. This morning, we're going to look at the prayer of Jonah, because Jonah prayed in the midst of his misery. And it's a beautiful prayer. Some call it the Psalm of Jonah, and it's found here. It's basically the whole chapter, Jonah chapter 2. But let me start by saying this was not the only prayer that Jonah prayed. Okay, you better believe me, for 3 days and three nights, he prayed more than these nine verses we have in Jonah chapter 2. I guarantee you that Jonah did a whole lot of praying in the well. I also do not believe that this was the first prayer that Jonah prayed. You see, this is a pretty prayer. And I have a feeling that the first prayer Jonah prayed was an ugly prayer. Something tells me that as he was being swallowed by the fish, he wasn't searching for eloquent words to describe his situation and predicament. Something tells me Jonah said, "Help!" Anybody ever prayed a prayer like that? I call it a flare prayer. You don't have time to think. You don't have to gather your thoughts. You just throw up a flare prayer and say, "Help me, Jesus." I believe that's the first prayer that Jonah prayed, and this was one that he prayed a little bit later on. So what we have here in Jonah chapter 2 is not the totality of what Jonah prayed. It's really a snapshot, a highlight of Jonah's prayers while he was in the whale. Look at verse 1 of Jonah chapter 2. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly." Well, it's about time, brother. Better late than never. Verse 2, "And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me." What did Jonah do? He cried out to the Lord. And what did God do? He answered him. We serve a God who not only hears us when we call him, but he answers us. Jonah said, "I cried out to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me." Listen, you can call on God and he will answer you. There are people all over the world who believe in the existence of God. There are people around us who believe that there is a God, but they have no idea that they can call on him and that he will answer them. It's an incredible thing that you and I can call on the very God of the universe. We can call on the maker of heaven and earth. We can call on the one who spoke the world into the being. We can call on our creator and our sustainer. We can call on the God who hung the stars in the heavens. We can call on the Alpha and the Omega. We can call on the everlasting God. You and I can cry out to God and he will hear us. And he will answer us. Notice that Jonah cried out to God in his distress. Aren't you glad you don't have to wait till you get to church on Sunday morning? Aren't you glad you don't have to wait till you get yourself together? You can cry out to God right now. Right where you are, you can call on the Lord right in the middle of your mess, right in the middle of the trial, right in the middle of the storm, even in the belly of a whale. You can call on the Lord. Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. And though we don't know exactly what kind of whale it was, this is what we can be sure of. This was not a comfortable place. Tell somebody this was not a comfortable place. Jonah was in a dark, wet, hot, stinky, smelly place. Look at that. Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And this is what he said. "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." That word, Sheol, in Hebrew is the word for hell. In other words, Jonah went through hell in the whale. Did Jonah literally go to hell? Well, no. The Bible says that he was in the belly of the whale the whole time. But this is yet another prophecy about Jesus, because Jesus went into the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. The Bible says that Jesus went down to hell and he took away the keys. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. The Bible says that he led captivity captive. Jonah's prayer is first and foremost a prophecy about what Jesus would do. But it's also a glimpse of what Jonah was going through. He called the belly of the whale Sheol. Jonah was in a miserable place. And yet God used that miserable place to bring him to his place of ministry. God used the whale to carry Jonah back to the place where God had called him. You see, God has a way of turning your misery into your ministry. God has a way of taking the painful seasons of life. He'll take your pain and he'll take your hurt. And if you'll trust him, he will use those things to birth a ministry in your life, and he'll use you to touch the lives of countless others. Some of you might be wondering why you're going through this. Maybe you're going through hell in the well right now. But I want you to consider the possibility this morning that God is using this season to position you and to prepare you to do a greater work in his kingdom. Jonah cried out to God, and God answered him. Think about that. Jonah was in the whale in the bottom of the ocean. Verizon is good, but they ain't that good. No human contact was possible. Nobody could hear Jonah's screams. Nobody could hear him crying. Nobody could hear him choking on seaweed. Even in the middle of the whale, the bottom of the ocean, God heard him. It doesn't matter where you are or how low you go. Our God is not deaf that he cannot hear you. Jonah cried out and God answered him. And I want you to think about where Jonah had been and think about what Jonah had been doing. Okay? Jonah was not in a good place at this point in his life. Jonah had actually been running from God. Jonah was going as far away from God as he could possibly get. And still, when Jonah cried out, God answered him. Isn't it good to know that our God is a merciful God? Yes. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive." Don't you love that? God is more ready to forgive you than you're ready to repent. God is sitting on go, just waiting for you to come back. It says, "Lord, you're ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you." In 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somebody say all. No matter how far you've run from God, it's always God's will. It's always God's desire that you turn away from sin and turn back to him. And this is what you need to understand. Even though Jonah had turned his back on God, God had never turned his back on Jonah. In fact, the whole reason that Jonah was miserable is because God wouldn't leave him alone. The whole reason that he's in the stinking belly of a whale is because God would not stop pursuing him. You see, once you've known the Lord, guess what? You'll never be happy in the world. Once you've tasted the goodness of Jesus, there is nothing in this world that will ever satisfy your soul like Jesus will. Jonah had turned his back on God, but God never stopped pursuing Jonah. Even in the storm, even in the seas, God was there watching over him. I read of a Native American tribe, and they had a rite of passage for young men when it was the time for a boy to go through the rite of manhood. This is what they would do. They would lead the young man out deep into the woods. And they would leave him there in the middle of the woods all alone. And if he could stay there all night, all alone by himself, then that would be his rite of passage into manhood. I want you to think about this. Imagine being a small child and being led into the woods and left there all alone in the dark. I don't know about you, but at the age of 33, I would probably be curled up in the fetal position crying like a little girl. But imagine being a child, being all alone, complete darkness, surrounded in the woods. Imagine every noise you hear. You picture this wolf about to come and eat you up, okay? I imagine that was a terrifying, scary experience. But what would happen is that the next morning, when the daylight would come, when the sun would come up, the little boy would look, and standing not far, maybe 20 feet from him down the path, was his father with his bow and arrow ready to protect him. You see, the little boy thought that he was all alone, but the truth is, his father was watching him the whole time, watching over them. And even though we can't always see God at work in our lives, and even though there are times when we feel all alone, I want you to know that your heavenly father is always there, and he's always watching over you, even in the darkness, even when there's danger all around you. God himself said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Romans 8:38 says that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on, tell somebody he'll never stop loving you. Let's look down at verse 6 this morning. Jonah chapter 2 verse 6. Jonah said, I went down to the moorings of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Jonah kept going further and further down. Think about it. He went down into the water. And then he went down into the belly of the whale. And then he went down into the depths of the sea. You could say that Jonah's life was in a downward spiral. The further he ran from God, the further down he went. And things got so bad that Jonah knew that his life was over. He said, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. According to Jonah, all hope was lost. According to Jonah, it was over, but it's not over till God says it's over. Maybe your life is in a downward spiral this morning. Maybe you feel like Jonah. Maybe you feel like all hope is lost today, but you need to remember all of the but gods in life. Anybody ever here ever had a but God moment? There are many testimonies of people in this room who had a but God moment. My life was out of control, but God stepped in and restored my life. My marriage was falling apart. We thought it was over, but God touched my heart and changed me and restored my marriage. The doctor said, we've done all we can do. You might as well get ready to die, but God stepped in and with his healing power. I was bound by alcohol and addiction. People said, all you'll ever be is a drunk. But God stepped in with the blood of Jesus and washed away my sins. Somebody say, but God. Jonah said, I was lost forever. I had no hope. But God brought me up from the pit. Maybe you feel like all hope is lost today. I'm here to tell you that God is able to deliver you. Next verse, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Jonah remembered the Lord. Say, he remembered the Lord. To remember in Hebrew culture is not the same thing as remembrance in our Western culture. When we remember stuff, we go scrapbooking. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. We do a Facebook timeline. We do a Facebook post. Come on. When we remember something, we think about what used to be. We think about the past. We think about memories. We think about the good times of yesterday. But to Hebrew culture, to remember something means to bring it into focus and to act upon what you're remembering. Remembrance in Hebrew culture means a change of priorities, a call to action. When Jonah remembered the Lord, it doesn't just mean that he said, oh, wait a minute, yeah, that's right, God is God. No, no, when he remembered the Lord, it means that God became the focus of his life. He kept his mind stayed on Jesus. It meant that he completely turned his heart back to God and responded to him. Some of you have forgotten God in your life. It's time to remember him this morning. Now look at verse 8. Jonah, like any prophet, gives us a warning. In verse 8, he said, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. I believe in this moment, Jonah is telling us, don't do what I did. Jonah is repenting from idolatry and he's warning us that we should do the same. Otherwise, we're going to forsake our own mercy. No, Jonah didn't offer sacrifices to Baal. No, Jonah didn't bow down and worship before an Asherah pole. But Jonah had been guilty of idolatry because the greatest idol of all is a four-letter word called S-E-L-F. self, in case you're trying to figure that out. Jonah was guilty of the idolatry of self. When the word of the Lord came to Jonah, Jonah said, no. I'm going to do what I want to do. God said, Jonah, if you're going to worship me, you've got to obey my commands. And Jonah said, no, I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to worship this idol of me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Jonah followed his own way instead of God's way, and this is what Jonah found out. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. When you worship the idol of self, when you become absorbed with selfishness, you're actually forsaking the mercy of God in your life. Jonah repented of his idolatry. He remembered the Lord, and this is what he says in our closing verse this morning. Jonah 2 verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Now this is a loaded verse. We could stay in this verse for months. There's a lot going on in Jonah 2 verse 9, but I want you to look at this. Jonah said, I will pay what I have vowed. You see, repentance, true repentance is about life change. Repenting is more than just words. When you repent and you turn back to God, it is a daily commitment to live your life differently than you lived your life before. Because you can say to God, I love you all you want. And you can say to God, I'm repenting of my sins all you want. But unless you change the way you live, your words mean absolutely nothing. What it isn't good for. You can say to God, I'm repenting. But until you make a commitment to change the way you live, it's not really repenting. Jonah understood that there was a commitment he had to make. That's why Jonah made a vow to God and said, I will pay what I have vowed. Why did he make a vow to God? Because salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. There is not salvation in any other but Jesus Christ. And I know that we live in a culture of pluralism, in a culture of universalism, in a culture where there are many different paths to God. And I don't want to hate anybody or offend anybody or hurt anybody, but let me tell you something. It is time that the Church of Jesus Christ stop compromising the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is time that we stop watering down the truth of the Word of God to get along with people who don't even like us to begin with. So I'm just going to say it this morning. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. The Bible is very clear on that. Some people say, and I've heard people who claim to be Christian ministers say that the God of Islam is the same God of Judaism and of Christianity. They say that it's the same God. The God that we worship is the God that they worship. Well, let me ask you something. Listen, I've got a copy of the Quran in my office. I'm not converting. I've just studied. I believe we ought to be educated and know. But no, tell me where I missed the passage in the Quran that says that Allah had a son named Jesus Christ who died on the cross to take away the sins of the world. It is not the same God, because Jesus is the only one. Jesus is the only way. He is the only way. Jesus himself said, nobody comes to the Father but through me. Islam says that Jesus was a prophet, but they throw away the most significant prophecy that Jesus said. Jesus prophesied that the Son of Man will be crucified and rise again on the third day. If they believed that he was a prophet, they would follow his prophecy. I'm telling you, there is salvation in no other way but Jesus Christ. It's not an American thing. It's not a Western thing. It's a God thing. Jesus Christ was and is and always will be the Savior of the world. Jonah knew that. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. If you haven't made that commitment, make it today before you leave. Give your heart to Jesus. Jesus is the only Savior. And he's the only one you'll ever need. Jesus is more than enough. Amen. Jesus doesn't put any qualifiers on his love. All we have to do is come to him just the way we are. And he'll save us. He'll wash us in his blood. He'll make us free. I want to ask the worship team if you guys will come as we get ready to close this morning. But today, before we leave, today before we close the service, I want to look back at this last verse one more time. Jonah was in a place where he couldn't offer burnt offerings to the Lord. He was not in a place where he could go into the temple and offer a sacrifice for his sins. But this is what Jonah said, "But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving." This morning, before we leave, will you stand with me today? And can we just join together as a church family and offer up the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God? Will you join me in just a moment of worship and prayer before we close today? Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are the way of salvation. God, we thank you for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter how low we get. We're not so far from you that you will not hear us. Lord, I thank you that you are the God who is able to do exceeding abundant above all we could ever ask or think. God, I thank you that there is no situation that you cannot turn around. There is no problem you cannot meet. There is no bondage of sin that you cannot break the power of the enemy. We thank you this morning. Will you lift up your hands and lift up your voice and begin to thank him today? Come on, let's just say thank you to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all of the times where you've seen us through the storm. God, we thank you for every one of the but God moments. God, we thank you for time and time and time again where you have proven yourself that you are the God of salvation, that you are the God of new beginnings, that you are the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance, that you are the God of restoration. Lord, we thank you for every time that you've restored us. God, I thank you for every time that even though we've fallen, every time we've fallen, God, you've been right there to pick us up and to walk beside us. God, we thank you. Thank you for all that you've done. We thank you all for all that you're doing. Somebody, you're going through something this morning. Jonah was thanking God when he was still in the belly of the whale. I just want to prophesy to you this morning that even right now, in the middle of your mess, this is your time to begin to thank God and to begin to praise God, because the God, our God, is a God of deliverance and God of a freedom. And the Bible says that our God knows the end from the beginning, and it doesn't matter whether you're in the middle right now. Our God has an appointed end for you. Just begin to thank him right now in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the belly of the whale. Begin to thank him and praise him. Lord, I thank you that you are more than able. Thank you, Lord, that you are more than able. That you are the God of the impossible. Thank you, Lord. You are the everlasting God. You are the eternal God. There is no problem too great for you. No difficulty too hard for you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're mighty to save. God, I thank you for those this morning who made the decision to follow you. I thank you for those even in this moment now who are turning their hearts towards you today. God, I thank you that you are still the God of salvation. That you are still the God of deliverance. Lord, we just thank you this morning. We thank you today. We thank you, Lord. Come on, let's sing that. We cry, holy, holy. Come on, lift up your hands, lift up your voice. Let's join the angels in singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Our hearts cry holy to you this morning. There is no one like you, God. You're worthy, Jesus. Somebody shout, holy, holy, holy. Lord, you're holy. There's nobody like you, none above you, none beside you. For who can compare to the Lord our God? We worship you, Lord, in this place. Holy is the Lord. Be seated for just a moment. I want to ask the ushers to come as we get ready to close the service with